May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who could make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Let us read together from the Word of God from three portions of Scripture. First, the book of Numbers, chapter 10. Numbers, chapter 10, commence to read at verse 29. Numbers 10, 29. And Moses said unto Hobad, the son of Rigel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come there with us, and we will do thee good. for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass, when the ark set forward, that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Now please turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read down as far as verse 20. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Wherefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall his seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now we turn to chapter 13, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but all mongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. It is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And here we will leave the reading of God's word. And may he bless it to us. May he please to help us now in prayer. Kind and ever merciful and gracious Lord God, it is indeed thy mercy and kindness that enables company of poor sinners to gather together in thy house and around thy word. And we do thank thee, dear Lord, for one more occasion, one more opportunity. We pray, dear Lord, that our ears may be opened to hear the words of eternal life. Because, dear Lord Jesus, thou hast those words of eternal life. And Lord, and we poor needy sinners come seeking that we may hear those words. Thou hast indeed speak, as indeed, as the psalmist said, may we also plead with thee, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, dear Lord, and such blessed word, dear Lord, that puts all doubts, all fears, puts them all to bed, puts them all to sleep, Lord. And dear Lord, we do pray thy gracious help. Oh, that we may know this blessing of God that makes rich, adding no sorrow therewith. Dear Lord, do come this evening now, take of the things of Jesus and make them known unto us. Because, Lord, we are poor, guilty sinners. We are dying sinners. And, dear Lord Jesus, we know not how many more days, weeks, months or years may be allotted unto us. So, since we know not, we do pray that thou condescend to come and bless us with those riches of thy grace and thy love, thy mercy. Speak to our inmost soul. Assure our conscience of its part in thy redeeming blood. Bear witness to our heart that we are born of God. Dear Lord, do then graciously help us. We, dear Lord, look up unto thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldest help us. O Lord, we read of thee as being the one that helps the helpless. Lord, and we come, as one said, no help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasurer of my mind is death, sin, and hell. But Lord, we come to thee. There is nowhere else for us to go. Lord, we come to thee pleading that thou had that mercy upon our poor, never dying souls. That mercy that speaks of peace. That mercy that speaks of pardon, forgiveness. That mercy that brings reconciliation between divine, holy, offended majesty and poor, guilty sinners. Oh, dear Lord, do draw near to us. Do abundantly bless our souls. Oh, dear Lord, so that we may indeed be like dear Jacob when he came to his end. Why, our Lord, he had one time, Lord, when he laid down his head on pillars of stone. But Lord, when he came to his end, he gathered up his feet in the bed and gave up the ghost. Oh, Lord, rest, peace. Dear Lord, may that be the blessed lot of each and every one assembled this evening hour to go in peace with our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, gracious Lord, do help us. And know us, Lord, any that may have indeed some hard things at the present, or some stones, Ye Lord, who graciously remove those stones. Ye Lord, who grant that sweet pillow of rest, that the Lord that leans upon a loving Saviour, a blessed Jesus, a glorious Redeemer, of him, the altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000. Hear then our prayer. Ye Lord, do help us then. Oh, may we come, Lord, with that dear David pleaded it. Oh, the sacrifices of God, a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Dear Lord, we read what thou hast said by thy servant the prophet. Unto this man will I look, even to him. Oh, dear Lord, may it be so even this night, even to him. May there be a few him amongst us, a few hers amongst us. Look unto him that is of a broken heart and a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Oh, a look, the look of the Saviour. We think, dear Lord Jesus, how thou didst look upon thy dear disciple Peter. Thou didst turn and look. He broke his heart. He went out. He wept bitterly. Oh, no doubt felt like the Apostle Paul writes, a wretched man that I am. Lord, we do pray here. Dear Lord, it was the burden, Lord, was on his heart. The burden was on his heart, Lord. And thou knowest, Lord, where the burden of sin lies tonight, in and upon sinners' hearts. And dear Lord, we pray that one and another may have and receive that look of love, that look of mercy, that look of pity, that look of compassion, that look of forgiveness. Oh, dear Lord, on that occasion thou didst not say anything unto Peter. It is very evident, dear Lord, that thou didst forgive him. Oh, go and tell my disciples and Peter. Ah, oh, dear Lord, do graciously help us. We pray, dear Lord, to hear then thy voice, that voice of love, that voice of mercy. Dear Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. Now, Lord, we do lovingly and commend to thee, dear people, friends at Swayze. Lord, remember them, bless them together, do bind them together in love and unity in the bond of peace. Dear Lord, thou knowest, they're in the midst of trouble, midst of, oh, trying circumstances. Dear Lord, and affliction, Lord, has come, Lord, and very serious in that. Dear Lord, we do pray. Now be with our dear friend Lydia. Lord, lay it aside in affliction's path. We pray for her. Bless her soul abundantly with thy loving kindness, thy goodness, thy mercy. Pray, dear Lord, that graciously help her and undertake for her. Oh, speak peace, the peace of God that passeth all knowledge and understanding. May know what it was. And thou didst say in John 14, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. We think of the dear one, Lord, be near to him and do blessedly help, strengthen, uphold, and all the family, Lord. They all need thy help, Lord. Oh, that they may find and feel that underneath are the everlasting arms, those arms of love, those arms of mercy. Dear Lord, they've known it in the past. They've experienced it in the past. Dear Lord, where those arms have been beneath them. And Lord, and they need those arms again now, those arms of divine support, those arms of strength. Dear Lord, and do be pleased to draw near. Oh, they may know, as the hymn writer says, I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. Dear Lord, do graciously help. Think of those words then in the prophet, that it was to fear not, And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh, we pray that it may know this great blessing, this blessing of God. Lord, do draw near. Lord, and we also think of our friend, our dear servant, Timothy Parrish. Lord, in the hospital now, we pray, dear Lord, that thou remember him, Lord, and do mercifully appear if it could please thee. Dear Lord, we know not what thy will is. Dear Lord, we would desire, the Lord, that he may be spared. Dear Lord, but it may not be thy will. Lord, it may be, as that we read, the Lord hath need of him. And Lord, we do pray that grace of submission. But dear Lord, if it please thee, do heal, do restore, do raise up, do strengthen. There is nothing too hard for thee. Lord, we firmly believe the day of miracles is not over. Lord, that thou art able to do exceed and abundantly above all we ask or even think. Lord, there is nothing too hard. Pray for his dear one, his dear wife, Deborah, and the family, Lord. Undertake for them. Graciously help them. Graciously support them. And also, Lord, too, may they know that underneath are those everlasting arms. Be with them. Supply all their need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. Be with them, Lord. And any others, Lord, there may be others, Lord, that are ill, laid aside, but we're unaware of them, Lord, but we do pray that then visit thy people, Lord, and do comfort hearts, Lord, do gracious support. Certainly those who mourn the loss of near and dear ones, Lord, be gracious to them, we pray. Blessedly help. We do pray that thou wilt hear prayer, that each may be preserved from the virus that is in our land and throughout the world. We pray, dear Lord, to be protected and kept in peace and safety. Our health and strength and safety, dear Lord, belong to thee. Lord, do keep us. We do pray. We think of the children, Lord, particularly, Lord, they've lost a lot of schooling. We pray, dear Lord, that thou graciously help them. Lord, and if thy will, they return to school in just over a week time. We pray thy help. Oh, that their education may not suffer as a result of all these things. But dear Lord, may it truly be sanctified to them. Oh, we think of older ones generally speaking. But Lord, may be sanctified to the children, that they may ask, be found asking and seeking thy help, be asking for thee to help them in their education and to go before them in life's pathway. Oh Lord, do then mercifully help. And pray, dear Lord, that thou be with each. Pray, Lord, that thou be with those older ones, Lord, who would have been taking exams. Lord, knowest all what these things mean. Lord, we do pray that make thy goodness pass before them in the way. And then, Lord, we pray that remember others, maybe in trials, troubles and difficulties of a different nature. Lord, do mercifully appear. May thy goodness pass before them. Make those crooked things straight, those rough places plain. Break down the great mountains of impossibility. Make a way where there's no way. Oh, again, make thy goodness pass before them. Lord, and do we a prayer, indeed, for our nation. Govern those that govern us. Oh, that those that rule and reign over us, their hearts may be changed. And the Lord, that they may be found seeking those things which are above, they may be asking of thee for all needed wisdom in the affairs of state. Dear Lord, thou didst change Manasseh's heart. Ah, and thou art still the same Lord God of heaven and of earth, then as now. And Boris Johnson, Lord, is not beyond the limits of thy love and thy power, Lord, to quicken into divine life, to change the hard heart. Dear Lord, we would lovingly commit into thy hands. Dear Lord, who graciously work in the hearts of not only our Prime Minister, but all those members of government, we do pray. Lord, thou knowest there are some awful things, Lord, that making their way through our Parliament. We do pray, dear Lord, that overturn the wicked and evil designs of men and frustrate their intentions. Dear Lord, and may the liberty that we have at the present of preaching the gospel without let or hindrance, without being fettered, without being found in chains, dear Lord, to help us, to appear for us. Freedom of speech, it would be called. Lord, who grant thy help, undertake for us, Lord. We thank thee for all the many mercies we have received and enjoy, day by day and hour by hour. Our health, strength, use of natural faculties, comforts, the roof over our heads, the beds we lie on. Indeed, for mercies countless the sands which daily we receive. And Lord, hear our poor prayer. Lord, do help us, and know us. Dear Lord, we becoming, Lord, that we get so forgetful in many things. So, Lord, if we've forgotten to ask of something that we should have asked, do make up in giving. If we've asked wrongly, kindly forgive. But, dear Lord, we ask this now, that thou come and graciously help. Oh, and fulfill thy word, thy promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come, open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. So we plead the dear one who cried, Lord, help me. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 799. Man, bewail thy situation. Hell-born sin once crept in, mars God's fair creation. Hymn 799.
Thank you.
in dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, we ask your very prayerful attention to the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 13, and I read verse 14. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Hebrews 13 and verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This is perhaps a text that's not, which is well known, that's quoted from time to time, but perhaps very rarely preached from. And I must say, when this dropped in upon my spirit, I thought, no way can I attempt to speak from this, but the Lord hasn't removed it from me, and I have to venture with it. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I read those few verses back there in the book of Numbers. I just refer to them now. Here was Moses' brother-in-law, really, Hobad, the son of Rechab. And Moses says to him, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. But this man, Hobad, yes, he says, I will not go with you. I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. I don't know who's in the chapel tonight. I don't know who might be listening. But, you know, this text here, we are journeying unto, well, we are, for here we have no continuing city. Life is brief. Why, the days of our life are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength there be 80 years, then shall be the strength, labour and sorrow. Yes, and generally accepted that the present day in which we live, people do live longer than they used to do. But we still have to face death. We still have to face death. And there's not one in Swayze Chapel tonight or listening will escape it. Not one will escape. Oh, that your heart and mine might be here in this text. But here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The dear hymn writer says about this, we've no abiding city here. There's made us stress the worldling's mind, but should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. Now, I do hope and pray that if there is any that thinking, as it records here, yes, it records here that he says, I will depart to my own land and my kindred. Moses further pleads with him, leave us not, I pray thee. Well, you don't read there that he consented to stay and go with them. But if you turn over in the Bible, your Bible and mine, you find as you get into the book of Joshua and the book of Judges, why, it's very evident that this man did go with them. He did go with them. He did change his mind. Oh, that it may be, is, oh, that you, like dear Moses, might choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It will only be a season. Yes, however old you and I might live, if we say 100, we live to 100, but death will come. And when you and I consider what 100 years is, relating to eternity, it is just absolutely nothing. It is so minimal. It is so small. 10,000 years, but eternity has only just begun. It goes on. It goes on. And it goes on. And there is no end. Oh, and my dear friends, it goes on, and there is that holy, happy place where congregations ne'er break up, where Sabbaths have no end. And why this text speaks here, but we seek one to come. Well, go back again here to Numbers. And what is it dear Moses says to Hobad, the son of Regal, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law? He says, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. You can turn back to the book of Genesis, and you see there where the Lord first, chapter 12, I believe it is, the Lord first promised Moses, promised Abraham that to thee this land will I give it. Well, that was the land of Israel as we know it today. But there is something else here. There is a land of pure delight, a land of pure delight where there's no more sin, there's no more sorrow. There is a place where Jesus lives, where Jesus reigns, and blessed be his name, he draws sinners unto himself. Ah, you say, but I'm too bad. Now, I ask you this question. If you think you're too bad, tell me who told you you're too bad. Did the devil or did Christ? I venture to say it was the devil that told you you're too bad. Christ has never said that. He said, it records of him, that he came to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. Yes, the very, very worst of sinners. The very worst of sinners. I came not to call the righteous. Well, you're not righteous. You don't feel to be righteous by any stretch of imagination, do you, dear soul? But Jesus came to call, not to call the righteous, but sinners. But sinners to repentance. Self-righteous souls don't need any repentance. There's nothing wrong with them. But, oh, there are those souls that they do feel there's something wrong with them. Plenty of things that are wrong with them. And why? And they come. Well, ear this word is, or hear, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Boy, you go back here into chapter 11, and why it reads here about Abraham, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place that he should after receive our inheritance, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Yes, dear son, one of those blessed foundations is this, his eternal love to poor dying sinners. The love of Christ, so rich, so free, fixed upon his own from all eternity. His own, he said this, and they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. They shall be, not they might be, they shall be mine. Oh, and you see, he draws them, he draws sinners by his resistless love. Yes, you know, I've used the illustration before, you know, the magnet, and there's the iron filings on the bench, and those iron filings have no resistance to that magnet. They must get to that, they're drawn to that magnet, and so are poor dying sinners. Dear soul, are you a sinner tonight, drawn to Christ? Drawn to the Lord of life and glory. Oh, and do you, like that dying thief on the cross at Calvary, you know, he believed. He was shown this there on Calvary's cross, that this was Jesus. This was the Saviour of sinners. And he pleaded, didn't he? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was assured, he was there, fixed on that cross, that he, Christ the Lord, had got a kingdom of immense delight, a kingdom, yes, that would last throughout and never end in eternity. And he pleaded with him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So, you see, and he was drawn. He was drawn. What does the dear prophet Jeremiah tell us? Turn to it and make sure we quote it correctly. Jeremiah 31. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Oh, you say, but that's speaking all about God's people. Yes, and you say, I look at it and I think it must be God's, what we hear about God's elect. Yes, it is. It is. It's just right, dear soul. And so you're cutting yourself out. You're saying, that's not me. Again, does Jesus say that's not you? What did Jesus say? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, a coming sinner, one that's coming to the dear Lord Jesus Christ, is one that is drawn to him. It's like that iron filing on the bench. It's drawn to Christ. why you see there's a beauty in Christ. There's a beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and your soul, yes, is on the stretch to know him, to know my Jesus crucified. By far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Knowledge of all terrestrial things near to my soul true pleasure brings. No peace but in the Son of God, no joy but through his pardoning blood. Yes, so then a coming sinner is a drawn sinner. And a drawn sinner is one that is loved with an everlasting love. And say, my soul, why not for thee? Yes, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. But we are journeying unto the place, said Moses. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it thee. So, is all, and you believe this, deep down in your heart, you believe this, that the Lord's people will go to heaven, will be with Christ. Yes, that is true. Well, you see, they're drawn. They're the ones that are drawn by his resistless love. Ah, the Lord hath appeared, let me repeat it again. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. And dear soul, and if you and I are drawn to Christ, we should be like that dying thief. We shall want to be with him where he is. Where is he? Is in heaven, is in glory. And dear soul, yes, and he came to this earth. He laid by his glory. He came to this earth. He went about doing good. He preached this glorious gospel. Yes, the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Gospel to poor sinners. John was shut up in a prison. You've heard of John, John the Baptist. He was shut up in a prison. He wondered if, was this really him? Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? The answer given was, go and tell John. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the blind see. And the poor had the gospel preached unto them. Say, what was this then? What's this gospel that's preached unto them? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Yes, it's hard. You're poor in spirit. You're a mourner in Zion. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. You long to be filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ shed abroad in your heart. Well, yes, dear soul, and there's no better place to find this, is there, than when we come, yes, and see and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in all his walk here on this earth. Yes, I've said sometimes from Bethlehem to Bethany. Yes, oh, friends, but it comes, yes, it comes, my friends, to Gethsemane. And, you say, but, oh, yes, but Gethsemane is such a sad place. I've heard about it. It's where the Lord of life was suffered. He was in agony, and that is just it. He was in agony. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The Ah, and did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the sky, stoop down to wretched nest and dust that guilty worms might rise? Yes, the Redeemer left his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. And there, yes, in Gethsemane's garden, it starts, it commences, those sufferings so intent that even angels have no perfect sense. Here this whole is beginning. Oh, yes, is making that way for poor dying sinners to approach unto him through Christ, that new and living way. What did he say to his disciples in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house and many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And here he is. He's going to prepare this place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you. And receive you unto myself. That where I am, there shall ye be also. Why me? Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? But you see, he goes to prepare this place. But to prepare this place, friends, yes, you know, when you and I perhaps go and prepare a place to live in, why we go along with buckets and mops and cleaners and stuff and clean it all out. But he is all here to do more than that. He had to deal with sin, the sin of the whole of the election of grace, the whole of his people, of all them that had been given unto him. He was to suffer, he was to bleed, he was to die, he was to pay the price of the redemption of their souls with his own heart's blood. Is to offer himself as a sacrifice to God. Oh, and a sacrifice it was of a sweet smelling savour. Why, yes, there in Gethsemane, oh, it's a blessed place to get to. It's a sweet place to get to, dear soul. Ah, to hear the Son of God. Ah, and to view him. To view him. Yes, on his face. On his face. He wasn't standing. He'd fallen on the ground. He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And he's in prayer unto his Father. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Thrice forward and backward he goes, as though he sought some help from man. Offer the same prayer. Yes, oh yes. He was to go from there to the judgment hall. And he was to go from the judgment hall to Calvary, where they crucified him. Where this whole, he made this way. He made this way possible for his dear people. You know, I read something a little while ago and it struck me very, very much. You know, when Jesus was there on the cross, there were those that cried, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and come down from the cross. Well, yes, he could have done just that. It was within his power. It was within his ability. But dear soul, what I read was this, and it was what you read in the book of Nehemiah. And they tried to stop Nehemiah building, rebuilding that temple, the walls. And he said, he wouldn't stop. I'm doing a great work. Ah, friends. And our dear Lord Jesus Christ was doing a great work on Calvary's cross. Yes, he was obtaining eternal redemption for us. He was paying the ultimate price. He offered himself as a sacrifice. Tis he instead of me is saying, may it be so with each and every one of us. Tis he instead of me is saying, he suffered in the sinner's place. The just dies for the unjust. Oh, blessed be his glorious name. But his Holy Spirit, he's making his way. Yes. And why it says here in verse 13, let us go forth here for unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, go back again. Go back further than Moses. Go back to Jacob. Yes. Oh, it's been a sweet part of God's word to me more than once. And he said, oh, but, you know, poor Jacob. Yes. He got some hard things to lay down with, hadn't he? But, yes. But the Lord appeared to him there. Oh, how the Lord blessedly appeared to him. Here in Genesis chapter 28, we find this. There was the ladder, and Jacob saw this ladder and the angels of God descending, ascending and descending. And the Lord stood above it. And listen how he was blessed. And the Lord spoke to him. Remember him, he got some hard things. He got these stones for his pillow. He got these hard things. And perhaps poor soul, you've got some hard things. Yes. But the Lord stood above it. And the Lord said, I'm the Lord, God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee shall all the seed of the families of the earth be blessed. Listen, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. And then Jacob wakes. Jacob woke up out of his sleep. Yes. Oh, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Yes, this is the gate. And he rose up in the morning, took the stones, he poured oil upon them. But it was this is the gate of heaven. Oh, dear soul, as the Lord draw near to you in times of trial and grief and sorrow and affliction, and you have felt your heart softened, your heart filled with the love of Christ and love to Christ, and feel that this is the gate of heaven. You know, I refer next to dear Simeon, this man that we read of here in Luke chapter 2. This man, Simeon, a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was devout. And the Lord had revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to deliver him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Yeah, we are journeying unto the place. We are journeying unto the place. You know, and the Apostle Paul goes on about it as well, doesn't he? Why, just turn, why, here in Philippians chapter 1, and the Apostle says this to us, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I should choose, I want not. For I am a straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. We are journeying unto the place, which the Lord said, I will give it you. Yes, dear heart, let us just turn a moment as it comes to one's mind. Here in the book of the Revelation in chapter 7, I think, yes. Why, dear John, wonderful revelation he had. You know, and John had some marvellous revelations, didn't he? There, alone, on the Isle of Patmos. You know, the word of God in Acts, not sure the chapter now, I think it's 14, but it says, it is through much tribulation. And so don't expect an easy path. It is through much tribulation you must enter into the kingdom. Ah, yes. And why John saw this great, yes, Hebrews 12 speaks of a great cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, seeing also we're compassed about with a so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, John in Revelation, why, there was this. There was a great multitude which no man could number. Of all nations, kindred, people, tongues, they stood before the Lord, before the Lamb. And yes, and they were clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And the angels round the throne, about the elders of the four beasts, fell down before the throne, their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honour, power, might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them any more, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. For we are journeying unto a city. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Yes, this place is where God, the blessed Saviour, wipes away tears from their eyes. It's not you and I that's wiping away the tears. It's God that's wiping away the tears. Oh, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing to him that died to save. Let's turn over a chapter or two. 21. And John saw this, a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Yes, dear soul, you and I now have sorrow. But he has said, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. And there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things have passed away. I said, and behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end. I will give unto him that's a thirst of the fountain, the water of life freely. What does it say here in the last chapter? The spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's a thirst come. And whosoever will. You see, dear soul, it's whosoever will. Let him take the water of life freely. Yes, the Lord Jesus comes to take home his people. He takes them home to glory. The dead in Christ shall rise first. No, I was looking at this last night and I really couldn't completely get my head round this, but here in 1 Corinthians 15, and it's so wonderful. The dear apostle speaking here, the great transformation of the people of God. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Yes, listen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may that be the blessed end of each and every one found in Swayze Chapel tonight or listening in. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's just turn in closing to what the dear we read in the Song of Solomon, that wonderful second chapter. what the bride and the Christ say there. Why? See, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. But it goes on. The voice of my beloved came leaping. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He says, oh, you've got some mountains. Ah, mountains of impossibility, mountains of doubts and fears. He says, oh, he lays them all out. Blessed be his glorious name. Skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe, a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showed himself through the lattice. He is, oh, he shows himself now through the lattice. But then, dears, oh, we shall see him face to face. When, dears, oh, this is your blessed Lord of mine, when we enter into this city. This city whose foundation, whose builder and maker is God. But then this, oh, my beloved, he spake. See, the time of love will come. The time of love will come. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, my friends, I say what endearing language this is. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Why, you know, it's like a husband encouraging his wife to come away, to leave the household chores, leave them all behind. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. Ah, friends, yes, and at this very moment the flowers begin to appear on the earth, that the spring is come. See, this all sets forth this glorious resurrection of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. When the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. The voice of the turtle is another. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, the vine to the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Arise, my love, my fair one. Arise, my love. See, he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. And it is old and eerie. There's this final, shall I say, drawing of a poor sinner. Yes, drawn by his love, bidden, yes, to leave this world, to fly away, to be at rest, to be with Jesus. Oh, yes, that holy, happy place. A place where congregations ne'er break up, where Sabbaths have no end. Yes, and you know, you read of this, do you not, in the closing chapters of the Bible, here in Revelation, I think it's 19. And there's the voice that came out of the 24 elders, the beast that fell down and worshipped God. Sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. The voice came out of the throne, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I don't want to be fanciful, but I remember an old aunt of mine. Yes, she was dying. In fact, I think she only died a day or two later. But my dear mother went in to see her. And she said, you know, she said, I've heard some singing. She said, it was wonderful. Ah, friends, yes. And not the only one. there's been others that would testify, or did testify before they left this world, they've heard some singing in Emmanuel's land, singing that glorious song of praise unto him that loved us and gave himself for us. Well, yes, let us go forth there for unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Yes, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you, and they shall be mine in that day. Well, may that be your blessed lot and mine, to join that holy, happy chorus, to join, yes, and sing that everlasting song. You know, it reads, there's no more death, there's no more sorrow in his soul, and there's no more sin. There's no more sin. It's everlasting joy, everlasting praise. Oh, to him that loved us and gave himself for us. The Lord pardon all amiss. Bless what has been right. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, and Mr. Robert Field will preach to us on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Richard Field will again preach to us at 10:30 and 6:30. And he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And the collections today are for Mr. and Mrs. Timothy Parish. Let us close with hymn 889. Say, is thy heart well broke, and feels the plague of sin, and hateth Satan's yoke, it sweetly once drew in? Give Christ the praise, he broke thy heart, and taught thee how to feel the smart. Hymn 889.
Dear Lord, do graciously, mercifully own and bless that which has been right in thy sight, and pardon and forgive all amiss. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and love of God, sweet communion in the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and always. Amen.